And we return to Wednesday's press conference at the Russian Foreign Ministry with spokesperson Maria Zakharova.
Could you please use a microphone? And press the button, please. New time in English. So we would like to talk about the question of Ministerial Council of the OSCE. So could you please clarify what they're going to talk about? So you're going to talk about the meeting of Lavrov? No, we're not talking about ministerial meeting. It will be organized later. Well, you said that they will discuss security matters, and of course they will discuss the Nagorno-Karabakh settlement process. I have a question about consensus plan that should be discussed in the course of the meeting. I just need to understand what they are going to talk about. Consensus minus one, consensus minus two, what Russia is going to propose. You know, I think tomorrow we are going to inform you about all the matters that were discussed and all the modalities. So we have specified all the issues that will be discussed, but all the details you will know later. It's up to Sergei Lavrov and his colleague, Secretary General of OSCE, to talk about it. Yes, please. Turkish TV channel. Ms. Zakharova, we have received information about the death of Russian servicemen after the terrorist attack on the southeastern region of Turkey. We are saddened by this fact. The ministry has recently published the list of of people who are going to take part in the national dialogue in Sochi. No. It will be organized at the 18th of November. I'm sorry, but I need to interrupt you. I think that you were not quite attentive when you were listening to what I was saying. I've just said about it. We are working on all the modalities and details of this event. As for dates, as for place, and all the participants, you will know about it later. It was just the start point of our work, but at the same time, I would like to know what's the difference between Russia's position towards all these groups like a Democratic Alliance of Kurdistan that closely works with others. What's the difference between your position and the American position? You know, I'm not a specialist in this on this matter. I'm going to ask experts about it, and I'll provide you detailed comment on this matter. But in general, to my mind, it's up to the experts to answer your question. But once again, in general, the Russian Federation intends to engage Kurds in the political consensus or the work that is going to result in certain results. We're not going to manipulate people. We're not going to manipulate ethnic, religious characteristics of communities that work in Syria. And this question is quite sensitive for them. We're not talking about manipulation once again. We are going to engage them in this process. And we have already explained why we want to do this. Because we want to restore the Syrian state, because all the communities should be engaged in this process. No one should be remained on the sidelines. You know that every day, every month, Russian representatives on all the levels said about the necessity to engage the Kurdish population, especially political groups, different communities, and civic organizations in the process, says on different platforms, and we are doing all the best. You know, our efforts are blocked by Western partners, but not only the Western partners, but also other partners. We have mentioned that these interests are lobbied to serve the interests of the future Syrian government, but also of the whole Syrian region. I don't want to comment the U.S. position, but sometimes we do it. But to my mind, we can talk about manipulations. Unfortunately, we're talking about manipulations for political reasons. And in general, I would like to pay your attention to the Russian approach to this issue. But once again, I'm going to ask ask this question to the experts who are going to have to analyze in every detail your question. We're talking about anti-Russia sanctions imposed by the United States against the Russian defense sector. So we would like to welcome you, and we would like to start with you the cooperation in this sector, especially would like to discuss the supplies of S-400, how Russia is going to retaliate on these sanctions. You know, bearing in mind our cooperation with Turkey, we consider Turkey as an independent state, and so we think that our cooperation has certain challenges, but at the same time has great prospects. And this cooperation includes many other actors, but it's in our interest to strengthen cooperation with Turkey, and that's what we are doing. If we have certain challenges, we try to address them, and we try to use all the mechanisms of our cooperation. As for the fact how this cooperation is perceived by other actors, you know, it's up to the international community to assess. So we take into account regional and international agenda and the security matters in the region, so we try to maintain the dialogue with Turkey, and we don't conceal it from anyone else. But once again, we value this cooperation, and it shouldn't be influenced by external actors. Unfortunately, we have already witnessed that we have influenced how other actors try to exert influence on our bilateral decisions, but we just need to learn the lesson, and we need to develop our relations and to do all the best to prevent the negative influence. Well, I totally support the positive influence, but not the negative one.
Good afternoon. I have told you everybody about Kurds. Okay, now we're going to talk about the Arabs. The Iraqi government informed us that they have not attained the aims of negotiations. That's why they expect the continuation of war with Kurdistan. Could you please comment the current position of Russia on the situation? Okay, it's not the final position, it's the position we had and we have now, so the position coincides in all their steps of this dialogue. We are for the dialogue between the participants, between the Kurds and others. You see that it's very easy to unleash a conflict, an internal conflict. Sometimes it's because of external influence, and then it's very difficult to attain peace. That's why, from the very beginning, we said that this problem should be resolved, taking into account the mutual interests inside Iraq. Next question, please. Geron Pearl, Federal Agency of News. I would like to inform you, yes, you did it maybe 2 hours ago, Okay, so I'll inform everybody here about it. So we are politically censored by the Google Corporation. In particular, all the news of our site were deleted from the search engine. I would like to ask you what are the causes of this aggression, and maybe count on the ministry's support in the settlement of this situation. You know, I think that in this case, you, first of all, should do one thing. It's just an advice. First of all, you should inform Google and send a special notice to them. They have a Moscow office. They have some good expert there. And you should ask them, why are they doing it? What are their motives? That's the first step. And the second step you are to take is to send the same official letters to Russian authorities that deal with the issues of protecting Russian media. That is what we are to do according to the law. And they also deal with all technical aspects of the rights of Russian media on the territory of Russian Federation and abroad. I know that the Minister of Foreign Affairs has already received your inquiry. I may confirm it. And we, on our side, will ask Google on their motivation, and we will send inquiries to international structures, international institutes. And I think that the representatives of OSCO I mentioned today should know about the situation. But to my mind, we have the briefing today on international politics and foreign politics, but I think you should send a letter asking to clarify the situation to Roskomnadzor. Now we together want our interests to be in the media, so not only in private organizations, but also including our influence from the forces of different countries, for example, in the United States. So we see it practically every day. If the information is that you were blocked on political motives and it is confirmed, it's a precedent for special doing on this situation. So we have received your inquiry and we are elaborating on it. Next question, please. Ms. Zakharova, yesterday you were on the Federation Council on protecting our media sovereignty. Your colleagues talked about our possible regulation in the informational sphere against our American partners. So we have been talking about it today. Maybe you will unveil the secret and tell us what are the concrete measures we are going to take. Will we ban Hillary Clinton on Vkontakte or what? So you remember, it's like Vladimir Vinokur told us, you may not tell it, but it will be a secret. Okay, it will be a secret. You should understand one thing. We do not want any bloody retaliation against American media or other media. We actually understand this situation, and we just are becoming more professional. So these countermeasures and this infringement on the activities of journalists are not our aim. It's 100%. But I would say that we are not pleased to deal with this situation at all. It consumes our time, our efforts, and we may do our main work instead of it. But the retaliation, when we are talking about crossing all the red lines, and about the fighting without rules should be applied. It's a kind of fighters club. So sometimes we are blackmailed, and that's why the retaliations should follow. To discuss today what will be the measures, it's not a good idea, because we're not pleased about it at all. Are they elaborated? Of course they are. Will they be applied in response to the fact that, for example, the activities of RT in the United States are blocked? Yes, they will be applied, and everybody spoke about it. I mean, all the representatives of relevant authorities spoke about it. It's a comprehensive position of the Russian Federation. We have never taken such steps, but today we are talking about a case without precedent. We had some examples of extradition of Russian journalists from different countries. Sometimes it happens, and we had some countermeasures, but we considered it quite a unique cases, so cases that happened. As for the general blocking of the work of the Russian media, not the accreditation, non-authorization, or limit of access to some events. It also happened, but we never reacted to it. For example, when our media didn't get a permission to participate in an event in Europe, they were not accredited. We haven't had any countermeasures. It's not our own aim, and it doesn't please us at all. But I would reiterate, in this case, we will have to do it. Next question, please.
Борис Санзов.
Okay, I'm listening to you. Good afternoon. I would like to tell you about the monuments in Bulgaria. You said that everybody has its black sheep, and they said that the soldiers will go to the other side in the Second World War as the music changes. It's about the relationship between Bulgaria and Russia and about journalism. You know that journalism is a dangerous work, and recently on Malta, a journalist investigating a great affair died. Iraqi Kurdistan actually saw the killing of the Kurdish journalist, and his relatives sent me his photos. He was brutally killed. Actually, they cut their tongue, his tongue, and put the knife to his mouth so that he kept silence. And they did it at his home. Recently, a Bulgarian journalist, Tatiana Ritanjeva, investigated in Bulgaria about the case that Azerbaijan used diplomatic planes in order to transfer arms to the Middle East and Saudi Arabia. She published the investigation in one of Bulgarian newspapers, and then she couldn't work anymore. Sometimes the news coming from Russia are perceived as direct propaganda in the European Union. What news are you talking about? What news are the threat to the European Union? You know, sometimes it happens, and now we have a question. How should we act? When in London you have the trains on Russian culture, is it a threat to the European Union? Where are our threats? Where are our actions that are perceived as a threat to the European Union? In particular, in our press we have the news from Russia. Okay, it's a different situation. And they say that's the direct Russian propaganda. So here I have a question. Maybe we should cooperate on culture, arts in the future. Are you inviting me to a performance in the theater? Okay, yes, I am. I will participate with great pleasure. It's a big issue, if we are talking seriously. I don't understand why you talk together about the threat to life of journalists and the issues of Russian image in the media, for example, in Bulgaria. I would answer separately. As for the first question, you're right. The journalists' work is dangerous. We all know about it. That's why in some international organizations, they have the special institutes and the special ombudsman to these issues. They have some resolutions, etc. It's about OSCE, the Council of Europe, UNESCO, the United Nations, non-government organizations, and many, many others. But I think it's first of all a question to you, to the professional community. And I think that today we may not only speak about the dangerous aspects of journalists' work, but also on the public issues and going on to public as of a factor that may cause potential aggression against a person, as a person is a celebrity, it's a known person. There are bloggers and people who write articles and have many followers, and great attention is driven to their posts and their materials. I think that today the problem is wider than it was 10 years ago. New media give us the possibility to become popular in non-traditional media, so it's a global issue. And besides, it's an issue on the estimation of threats and evaluation of threats, both political, personal, that are related to the public character of journalists' work. And there are other nuances and aspects of the issue. So it's all about the discussing of all these nuances in professional community. And for the Russian Federation, everything that relates to freedom of speech and protection of journalism is a priority. Unfortunately, in our country, we have the cases of attacks on journalists on different reasons, and they are priority issues to be investigated. Actually, these attacks are linked with their work, with their professional activities, with the fact that they are public persons, and it's under the control of the state. So now I don't see what your question is, but I think that you're right. And we do all this in international forums, and we follow the rules and legislation of our country. As for the second question on the Russian news and how they are perceived in other countries, I agree that not everything coming from Russia, I mean, from the state authorities, is perceived as propaganda. But sometimes it's what they want to demonstrate and to show. And recently, they accuse of us of creating a machine to produce fake news. We are open to collaborate on this issue. If you have some examples of spreading false news and false information, we are ready to discuss all this fake news. We haven't actually received any materials on this topic. And, of course, the journalists have the right to make a mistake and the right to correct their mistake. Russia Today and other media have made some mistakes, but they published that they are, have do it. So we do not have any machine on fake news and the propaganda. Actually, it's a fake news we are accused of. As for humanitarian issues, culture and arts, this is Rosatrudnictvo that deals with this issue and also some other relevant authorities. I would like to tell you about what's going on these areas, and I will do it In summer, we went to the Crimea together. Okay, don't tell everything. I have a question. Despite the European sanctions, and actually I laughed at it, I saw a big European shop, Metro, that continued its activities despite the sanctions, and the French Auchan as well. Could you comment on it, please? Or maybe I'm too naive and I do not understand the sense of it. So you should look when they were founded, then when they created their business in Russia. What do you want? That they do not deliver anything to Russia and to the Crimea? We also saw the energy blockade of the Crimea, and we have surpassed this blockade. I hope you understand what we did to provide energy to the peninsula in order to solve this problem. We constantly face information blockade of the peninsula, and of course the situation of the fact that the citizens of the Crimea do not receive the visas to enter to some countries. It's a blockade of freedom of movement. So I'm sure we can call it a blockade. Today we are the witnesses of another example related to your colleagues. Crimean journalists were not admitted to the event connected to OSCE. They were accredited to this event, but they haven't received visas from the Austrian party. It's the first case when the journalists, not the people who were sent to the event and who want to become journalists, they remain in the Crimea and they work there. Actually, these people are really journalists. When they want to come to an international forum and to talk on the situation, being its eyewitnesses, and this situation is discussed in Europe, and so in this case they cannot come, they are not permitted to come there, and it's a real blockade. How do we manage in this situation? We have online bridges. You know, it's a bridge that happened yesterday in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. On the OSCE platform, they will have a video audience, and they will have a possibility to present their ideas. But it's a real blockade. So everything you're talking about is to be perceived, and we should study these particular examples. We know that the Crimea has some problems, some issues, and we do not want to make them a secret. We tell you, come yourself and see what's going on there. Talk to non-government organizations, special authorities, human rights organizations. Take this information from the people who live there. But all the reports are published based on the information of non-government organizations that never were there, and these people who never were there evaluate the situation today, and it should be perceived as surprised and something wrong, not the shops that sell some products. You should be surprised by the fact that a number of Western capitals is actively engaged in anti-agitation against Crimea. They send special notes to the embassies, write letters, make tourist operators not sell packages to these countries. They spread some fake information on what's going on. And I think it should be perceived as a surprise and misunderstanding. But it's not the last case we are going to the Crimea with you. You invited me to the theater, and I invite you to the Crimea.
Just one question from about the attack, terror attack that took place in New York and in other places. There is Uzbek influence in this, and it looks similar to the terror attacks that happened in our place in Paris and St. Petersburg. But it cannot happen that countering terrorism could unite again. The United States of America and Russia, which are not really united as we heard today. And what is your assessment of this situation? I'm kind of confused with your assessment. What is happening in the European Union? Italy is in the European Union, or maybe you are also leaving it. We cannot choose our neighbors anyway, but you can choose the alliance. So your evaluation is very interesting. As for your question about Catalonia, I could use your question and once again to state our position that hasn't been changed. It is still the same. It is still consistent position of the ministry. And while I would like to start answering your question on cooperation on counter-terrorism issues, you remember very well the massacre, the terror attack, and a lot of victims in the United States of America. When the case of Tsarnaevs took place, and that caused a lot of victims. And I would like to remind you, long before the attack itself, the special services of the Russian Federation and the American colleagues, the Russian special services sent to Americans the information about the activities of Tsarnaevs that they are doing in the territory of the United States, and this information was sent not in the volume of multiple documents where this information was hidden somewhere among the documents. It was a targeted information specifically on this issue. And this information was submitted to them directly. And moreover, our colleagues from the Russian Special Services paid a special attention of our American counterparts. Despite the fact that Russia gave the exact facts and tried to draw the attention and focus the attention of the Americans on this issue, we received a very interesting answer that we shouldn't bother. We shouldn't worry about this. Everything is under control. There is no need in Russia's assistance. This is approximately what was the answer that we received from our American colleagues. For that moment, we were not trying to interfere in the internal affairs of that state. We just proposed our assistance, but if they didn't need it, so I would like to repeat again, if they rejected our help, we were not insisting. It doesn't correspond to the spirit of to the vein of realization of such activities. So we clearly understood that the developments of the situation and the cooperation on this issue with Russia of the U.S. is not interested. Then the attack took place, and you remember all too well the details of this attack. And this is an example of how Russia really tries by all possible means, despite anything, to establish a productive or, well, at least some cooperation with our Western colleagues in on the issues of countering terrorism. We are discussing this on multiple forums and conferences. We take resolutions, we elaborate documents, but we express our desire in a very constructive way. We would like to establish a meaningful dialogue. We would like to consolidate our efforts to move to practical activities from mere resolutions and words. Today, international terrorism has changed. Terrorists today do not need planes, they do not need explosives, even. They do not need any special tools in order to conduct what they plan. They just need what we have, the car, the vehicle that anyone has, even normal citizens, that is not going to break any rules. That is why it makes even more complicated the situation with search and preventative activities on these issues. If before there were a lot of extremists and terrorists who used special tools, they prepared explosive bombs, they organized groups. Today, life of those terrorists who committed terror attacks in New York, in Nizza, and Paris, it's still the same as life of normal citizens. That is why we come back to the necessity to detailed and meaningful cooperation on country level. But it was blocked by London, and it is in a very bad condition on the direction of cooperation with the United States. Our cooperation with NATO on counterterrorism must be full-fledged, complete, the way it was originally meant to be, but it was also blocked. Every briefing, or every second briefing, we repeat this. The President, Minister of Foreign Affairs, speak about it. The representatives of special services of the Russian Federation, we send the signals to public community, and we all the time. Maybe it was the terror attacks in Paris when we said that those events must be not just the reason to express our solidarity and sympathy, but it must be a lesson that should unite us, make us consolidate our efforts. And what we see, the media and even some of our journalists were wise enough to say that Russia and Russian representatives hypocrites, and they are painting the colors of the national flags, their avatars, and they are, well, performing different activities that was expected from them. So we do understand that the reflection of support, like changing the avatars on social networks, really shows our sympathy. We need the public activities that show our support. We have to organize massive events on the streets, but it is kind of a disease that must be cured. And the medicine to cure this is the activities through our special services, and we really want to be heard, and we really want the situation to be changed, and they stop searching the animals where they do not exist. As for Catalonia, just 1 second. I can say just once again that our position on this issue hasn't changed. It is a traditional position that was announced long before the referendum in Catalonia and was repeated once and once again. We believe that it is internal affair of Spain, and the further developments in this region of Spain will happen in line with the constitution of the country, current legislation with respect to the democratic norms and human rights. We believe that the early parliamentarian elections on 21st of December will be a critical step to overcome crisis and will stabilize the state and local institutions. Yes, but use the mic, please. It shows that the answer to our question was unprepared. Do you have any doubts? Maria Vladimirovna, Japanese Information Agency, you said that we can ask questions, and I'm asking for all our Japanese colleagues the first thing. When was it that you couldn't ask the questions? So you said that we can ask all the questions today. Something went wrong. Do we have a translator for the representative? Oh, you understand Russian. Sorry. So it's funny here. So my question... There was the second Japanese business mission. Will the third business mission be organized? I know that these are just plans. I mean, the meeting of Minister Lavrov, but maybe they have already agreed to meet with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Japan, and now we heard about the meeting to Korea. Maybe Minister of Foreign Affairs can help in preparing this visit. We have a plan of visit to Japan, and Mr. Kono will have negotiations with Mr. Lavrov and will participate in the Council on Trade Issues. The details, including the dates, will be announced later. Yes, please.
Eurasia Daily News Agency. A question regarding the influence from the West towards Serbia, since Mr. Vucic announced a new phase of the dialogue on Kosovo. Can Russia change its position regarding Kosovo if the position of Serbia changes? This is a very interesting question. This issue has been discussed for many years, and from the time of the possible separation from Kosovo from Serbia, and at that time this issue was discussed regularly by the press, and the journalists were in the know of all the details. Now we have just the topic of Kosovo. And what is the exact position of each state has been forgotten. And no one has abolished the resolution, the UN resolution which the Russian Federation advocates. From our point of view, this resolution is active. It is a document that should be complied with. And we didn't have any other variants. There were no proposals, neither from Serbia nor other international actors. But the first voice to be heard is from Belgrade. And that's why we are just basing on this very international document, and we don't have double standards in that regard. So our position is quite coherent, and we don't have any discrepancies in that, in our position. So it is a consistent one. Yes, please. ABC News. I would like to ask you about the criticism from the United States that Russia is aiding and abetting the North Korea. And Trans Telecom Broadcasting Agency also dwelt upon this issue. I can say that the relations between Russia and North Korea are being developed at the time, and we comply with the sanctions resolution of the UN Security Council adopted with the participation of our country. In those resolutions, we took an active, we played an active role, and that's how we shape our position in that regard. As for the United States or other countries, in comparison to their stance, we do not have double standards or widening interpretation, and we cleave to the sanctions resolutions. Resolution. And Russia is making its own decisions in accordance with the presidential orders, and it doesn't contradict any Security Council resolutions. And but at the same time, we're developing our ties with North Korea. Sometimes our position is perverted, and it is viewed, and they try to present it in strange colors. And as for the internet coverage, one of the companies has provided this coverage, but I say that Russia not contradicting the resolutions. We haven't imposed any additional sanctions towards this country because it's contrary to these resolutions of the Security Council. And neither did we join other sanctions. So we respect the sanctions, and this is in our coherent positions, and we do not violate the sanctions regimes of the UN Security Council resolutions. As for the topic, maybe I can clarify with our experts. Do you have any questions? Yes, please. Yeah, I have another question. As for the joint economic activities in the Kuril Islands, the most important thing, the most difficult thing is the law. And as for the meeting that had taken place, do you have any news regarding that. I have clarified everything that I could, and I will ask your other questions next time. Thank you very much.
Ah, ah, ah.